Mother's Day, and we're going to honor the moms today by saying thanks. Titus chapter 2. After Timothy is Titus. The title of today's message. Let's pray. Father, we just say thank you for all that you're doing, Lord, even today, just our Sunday school class time and time of worship, and say thanks for your goodness. Lord, we ask that you would just soften our hearts, Lord. Give us ears to hear this morning, and may the mothers and the moms be encouraged today, and may the men and the children, Lord, may they be encouraged as well, and knowing how to come alongside of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 1, Paul writes, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women likewise, they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." The Bible is our source of all things. Amen? Amen? That's what we believe. The Bible is final authority. So if you and I have a disagreement, we go to see what the Bible says. And the Bible gives us the roles for marriage. It gives us the roles for government. It gives us the roles for parenting. It gives us the roles as husband and wife. And responsibilities, some roles for the women of the church to do. These are the expectations. And this morning for Mother's Day, we're going to be looking at them, but specifically this command where he says, the older women likewise, that this morning we'll be looking at this phrase, teachers of good things. Now, Paul is obviously talking about the older women in the church, but I think it does apply, obviously, to mothers, as mothers play the role of teacher within the household. Amen? For mothers, biblically, we can see it throughout Scripture. We can see many examples of women, of moms that taught their children and taught them very good things. It's interesting, in this book of Titus, Paul is writing to him and encourages him to find a group of mentors within the church. But there's another demographic of people that Paul instructs to be teachers, and that's the moms. The older women are to be teachers. And here in this context of this verse, they are being taught to, or being told to teach the younger women to love their husbands. If you want a wife to love their husband. Have you ever heard that? The whole love and respect phenomenon that's out there in the books and the DVDs and all this. The Bible says, husbands, we are to love our wives, and wives are to respect their husbands. But if you read Titus chapter, husbands, a little side note, I love seeing people's faces light up when they say, well, the Bible doesn't say that women are supposed to love their husbands. They're supposed to respect them. Well, that's not quite true. So, teachers of good things. The mothers are teachers. Is that the responsibility of teaching is not limited to the classroom. The teacher at school, the public school teacher, they have a classroom that they go to, right? With all the supplies that are needed. They have their books, they have their, all the production stuff that's needed, all the equipment, all the chairs, everything is orderly, everything is there. But moms, you might have found yourself in a teaching moment and realized you didn't have everything that you needed. Amen? But I've lived with one pretty much my whole life. I had one, and then I got married, and she became a mom, and so there you have it. But the classroom of life is not limited to just one room where all of your supplies are at. You see what happens when we have a class, you get to transition their mind, right? And they can get there 15 minutes before the student arrives, and they can prepare their mind, and they're drinking their coffee, and then the students arrive for their day, and they have teaching moments, they have recess, they have lunch, and then at the end of the day, they can go home, and the teacher can leave that there. But since there is no clock in and clock out, the classroom is the car as you're driving to and from school. The classroom is at the store when your kid's throwing a temper tantrum in Walmart. The classroom is in the hallways at home. The classroom is in the kitchen. It's in the bedroom. It's extracurricular activities. It's everywhere is the classroom that moms are to teach good things, which makes it difficult for the mom. Am I right? It makes it difficult for all of us to be instructed and to be held responsible to teach our children in an environment that to their friend's house. We send them to school. We send them to church events. We send them to places that mom can't always be there to help the child make those good decisions or to teach them the right thing. Not only is the classroom different, but the time is not the same. Whatever it is, 8:58 or whatever, and they get done at 3:30, clock in, clock out, go home. But moms get a clock in at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? When the child gets sick. Amen? Yeah. That's right. I was looking for some guy support there, but there wasn't. It's the moms clock in at all times of the day. Early in the morning, or when you're at work and you get that phone call from your child and you want to relax, and here comes your little student walking in with a question or a comment or a life crisis if they're in junior high. Those teenage girls, and there is mom who has been instructed to teach all good things. So now they have to clock without a nice comfortable chair or a nice good clock and dealing with other children. Now they have to have a teaching moment with their son or their daughter. The subject matters that mom teaches are not limited. They're in college, gets to pick their one or two classes, and they can spend 20 years just teaching over the same material. As a teacher in elementary age, you know, they teach a wide variety of classes, but only at a certain level. And then they, as the students get older, right, they start going to specialty classes. But moms teach math and English and history, different subjects, right? And it's not limited to the subjects that you enjoy doing, and it's not limited to only those curriculum subjects, but they also teach honesty and purity. They teach about the skills of integrity and hard work and how to love, and the list just goes on and on and on of the subject. And the fun part about being a student is being discussed. You're sitting there, you're enjoying your day, you're doing your thing, and here comes student number one. Oh, I didn't know we were going to talk about this. So you start talking about this, and then here comes the other child with a different question. And then here comes the emotional one. Dinner, while talking on the phone, while folding laundry, doing multitasking thing that women are amazing at, because I am not. It was funny, I was watching, can I say this story? I'm going to say this story. My wife is a classic multitasker. I mean, brushing her teeth, and while she's brushing her teeth, she just can't stand there and brush her teeth. Like, guys, when we're brushing our teeth, our mind is all day, you know? Sometimes we forget what we're doing, right? But my wife is on multitasking. She's like, oh, there's stuff on the floor. So she picks it up, and she goes over, throws in the laundry, tasking, and I'm just like, wow, that's so cool. Because I can't do that. Guys, we're not wired that way. Most guys aren't. Some guys are. Well, we don't need to go whose clothes they are. That's my story. I can tell my story. But moms are teaching in an environment that isn't always friendly for teaching. They're teaching on subjects that maybe they don't know the most about. And they're teaching about the importance of modesty and what to wear and how to not get too far in this love relationship kind of stuff as the kids get older and how to know for certain of different things. And even as your child gets older and they graduate and they move on and you know, someday they get married possibly, and maybe they haven't saying, Mom, what do I do about this situation? Mom, what do I do about this? You never know. but you're instructed as a mom to be a teacher of all good things. Perhaps the greatest contributions to the things that moms teach are in some of these different subject matters, like receiving. Moms teach about receiving. Moms teach about logic when they say, because I said so, that's why. Amen? Some logic there. Moms teach about medical science when they say, stop crossing your eyes or they'll stay that way. Right? Moms teach about religion when they say, you better pray that comes out of the carpet. Moms teach about justice when they say, when you have kids, I hope they turn out just like you. I'm hearing some agreement here. Some of the moms are like, that's right, that's a good subject matter. Moms teach about time travel when they say, if you don't straighten up, I'm going. Or foresight. Moms have foresight. They have intuition. Mom's foresight subject matter says, always wear clean underwear in case you are in an accident. How embarrassing. Contortionism. Moms say, will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? Tornado came through your room. That weather forecast was given to me many a times. International relations. Millions starving in China and you won't eat your peas. Moms teach about doing the impossible. If you fall out of the... And my favorite, moms teach about the circle of life when they say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. So today on Mother's Day, we do want to take a moment for being good teachers. Thanks, Mom, for making the sacrifices that you make in order to teach your children the good things. For being a Titus 2 woman. And with any responsibility that God gives us, he also equips us for, or put a passion in our heart or a desire in there to leave us on our own, to somehow in our own strength or our own abilities to find the way in order to be successful. But no, when God calls us, God always equips us. And in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever met a mom who ever felt adequate enough for the task that was at hand. When you first get married and you first find out you're having a child, there's excitement and there's, I just can't wait. And there's all these things. But then there's all those uncertainties that take place. When the child gets sick for the first time and they're running a fever. And what do we do? And how do we take care of this? To all the different issues that we experience as children. As we learn and discover new things and the mom is there. And feeling inadequate for every one of those challenges that is faced. Even if you have multiple children, you have your first child, and whether it was great or horrible, you think, okay, I got this thing kind of figured out. And then child number two comes along, and they're completely different than child number one. So you have to kind of relearn, how do I handle this situation with this particular student, with this particular son or daughter, as I am called to be a teacher of all good things. As any good teacher knows the condition of their students, there is no one, I believe, on earth that knows their children better than mom. It is that intuition of mom. It is that the heartbeat of mom to know and to sense, which I believe is a God-given ability, about what's going on in the life of your son or your daughter. That's why the a relationship between husband and wife is so amazing, because women will begin to sense something is wrong, but they may not always know what it is. And the guy, the husband, may not even sense that there's something wrong, but once that's shared, he can begin to discern, maybe this is what it is. And so the moms are, as good teachers, you begin to understand your student. You know what they like, you know what they don't like, and that comes from all those years of holding and nurturing and loving those children to the place that you know what they like and what they don't like. You know their weaknesses. You know their strengths. You know what helps them to learn. You know if you're going to teach them something, you know the best way to communicate that to the child. You know what the child needs. So allow me to encourage the moms to have the same heart attitude that Mary had. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 1. Familiar verse. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is being told that she's going to have a daughter, is going to have a child, and she is not married yet. She's engaged to Joseph. Let's read this story. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will receive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have not known a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Excuse me. "And the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month. For her nothing will be impossible." Listen closely to Mary's response. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. See, Mary submitted willingly to the plan of God for her life. She believed and trusted in God's goodness. "Be to me as you have said." And though your child wasn't Jesus, amen, he wasn't, or she wasn't, perfect and sinless and all great, God has a plan, and God has equipped you for that plan and those responsibilities and roles and with strength and in his wisdom will give to you what is needed to be successful as a mother. And in this area of being a teacher of good things, God equips you to be a teacher of good things. This word teach, It is a verb, right? It is an action verb. It is words, but we all know that we teach more with our actions. And most of what is taught by us as parents and moms to your children, most of what is down in lecturing or presenting slideshows to your children, they're watching you. It's being an example. It's modeling for them. This is what it means to be a godly woman. This is what it means to live with modesty and purity. This is what it means to love your husband. This means to take care of the home. This is what it means. And your children are watching you. The children are receiving from you your teaching that you're giving to them in the classroom of life. When you're in that car and they start asking questions, or you start asking questions, you begin to sense something's that your son or daughter wants to talk about something. And as you're driving down the car, you can have a life-changing moment in that car as you instruct and as you teach your children. If we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to encourage the moms today in a way that you can be equipped to be a teacher of all good, to be teachers of good things. So what are those good things that you're to be teaching, Mom? Chaos and so much evil and so much horrific things, consequences to decisions that are made based upon faulty information. And as a mom, you've been instructed to be a teacher of good things. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16 and 17, it tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Your source for being successful in fulfilling the role of teaching, the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. It is good for doctrine. It teaches us doctrine. If it wasn't for the Bible, we wouldn't have doctrine. We wouldn't know what doctrine was. We wouldn't know what is truth. It is good for reproof, for correction, the way to go, for righteousness. As your students, as your son or daughter comes to you with a question and you're not sure of the answer, it's found in the Word of God. It's found in the Word of God. No matter what your life experience was as a child, maybe you had a great childhood. Many times we try to make decisions based upon our experiences, and that's not a good thing, even if those experiences are good things, because then we limit God to those experiences. I'm thankful for our experiences, and those experiences help us to grow and understand, but we can't make it. So as a mom, if you're going to be a teacher of good things, you need to be in the Word of God, because the Word of God is your source to equip you to know how you are to live. How will you be able to teach about love if it wasn't for the Word of God? Deuteronomy chapter 9, this is the last verses we're going to look at. So flip, if you would, to Deuteronomy 6. This is Israel. They've been, they're just basically getting ready to go into the promised land. Deuteronomy is kind of like the review lesson, if you will. They're wandering in the wilderness and all those experiences that they've had, good and bad. And Moses is reviewing with them. And he says in verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them. When you sit in your, shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." A couple things I want us to see in this verse. First of all, these commands which I command you today shall be in your hearts. Mom, we cannot teach what we do not know. Have you ever tried to do that? I'm pretty good at telling stories, pretty good at making stuff up. I can be real creative, and I can raise a hood, and I can tell you, oh yeah, that's what this thing does, and it helps with more of that. Oh, okay. No, we can't teach what we don't know. Moms, you can't teach all good things if you don't know what the good things are. Let me encourage you this morning to be found as a godly woman in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into your heart, not just in your head. Don't just go to, the things you've learned in your own life intellectually about God or intellectually about what is right. No, it needs to be in your heart, because it's out of the heart that everything flows, right? When the Word of God is in you, then you begin to live what is those things. And since we know that as moms, we don't just get a clock in and clock out and have a certain set environment for teaching. No, teaching happens all the time. We teach moms, when you get cut off on the highway, how do you respond? You're teaching your children. We need to teach them all good things. When the Word of God is in you, you begin to teach those things. When the Word of God is in you, you begin to make those godly decisions. Deuteronomy 6, we just read it, says, once they're in you, then we're instructed, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Diligently, with purpose, with perseverance, to being diligent, to be intentional about teaching your children. It is the role of a mom to teach diligently your children. And then he gets, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So no matter whatever you're doing, going about your day, when you're in the kitchen and you're hanging out with your son or your daughter, and you're making a snack or you're making dinner, or you're whatever it is that you're doing, teach them. So God will equip you, mom, to fulfill the task and responsibility that God has given to you. And just as Mary said, may it be done to me as your words have said. I submit to this plan. I submit to God what you're doing in my midst and in my family, whether you've given me, be faithful and diligent to teach to them your word. I will be a good teacher of good things. Many moms feel inadequate, as I said earlier. Many moms feel overwhelmed. And when those moments come, they tend to fall into just routine or fall into this thing of withdrawing. I encourage you, moms, don't withdraw today. Be in the Word. Be in the Word. Be in the Word. Be in the Word. That hunger for God in your life. 15, to abide in the vine, to abide in Christ, to dwell with Him, to stay with Him, letting Him be your strength to be that godly mother that your family needs. God knows our weaknesses. He knows your faults and your failures, and that's why being in the Word of God is so important, because the Word of God will lead you and give to you wisdom so you know how to make those decisions and what needs when they bring them up to you. Even when you're not prepared, the Word of God that is in you will rise up out of you, and you'll begin to speak the very words of God to your children, and it's exactly what they need to hear at that very moment. So be encouraged today, moms, that the time that you spend teaching your children is time of value. It is time well spent. And in Isaiah 55, verse 11, it says, God's word doesn't return void. Even when they're laying in bed, not even knowing it. Every time you've talked to your son or daughter about God, and you've taken what God is showing you in your own quiet time and you're teaching it to your sons and your daughters, the word of God does not return void. Amen? It is not wasted time. It is not wasted time. It has been planted in them, and it does not return void. So be encouraged, moms, today for that. Be encouraged to be in there to study the word of God. Get to a place where you're diligent in teaching these very principles to your children in the classroom of life, in those moments that you're tired and you're exhausted, the moments then there's chaos going on and you're multitasking and you're doing your thing and letting God just flow through you. You will be a teacher of good, because they had a mom that not only loved them, but they had a mom that was diligent to teach them the very words of God. I'm going to have the mom stand this morning. I want to pray over you and just bless you in the name of the Lord. And so if the moms would stand, this maybe even challenged, that we have opportunities here at the church for the moms to get involved. We have the Daughters of the King ministry designed specifically for women. I mean, that's a good thing. Amen. It's an opportunity once a month to get together with other ladies in the church and relationship and to grow and to share the hurts and the frustrations of being a mom and just what's going on in life. So I'd encourage you, if you don't attend that, I would encourage you to be a part of that. Be a part of that ministry. And there's other, obviously, Sunday schools and other Bible studies that take place, other opportunities for you to grow in the Word of God. But most importantly, just grab your Bible and just start reading it. Be in the Word of God every day. Let God minister to you. Father, this morning we say thank you for these moms. Lord, we say thank you for just your plan that you have. Lord, as Mary heard your plan and she submitted herself to you, I pray that these moms here this morning would submit themselves to you, that they would say as Mary did, may it be to me as you have said. Trusting in your goodness. Trusting that you will equip them for the task that lies ahead. Trusting that you will help them in those difficult times. Father, I pray for the moms today that are hurting, that feel overwhelmed. I pray, God, that your peace would come over them. I pray they would trust you and allow you and your love to penetrate their heart and their mind. They do not need to be perfect. We rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus, for there is no such thing as a perfect mom. And we cast down every stronghold that holds them in fear or bondage against your will and against your plan. Father, I pray that they would be encouraged and stirred in their spirit to dwell with you, to be found in the Word of God. For it is your Word that will equip them for all righteousness. It is your Word that will lead them and show them how to be the mother that you've called them to be, how to teach the good things to these children that you have blessed them with. I pray, God, this morning you would encourage their hearts to know that the time that they have spent praying with, praying over, teaching with their children is not wasted time. For your words do not return void. And we say thank you for that. Lord, I pray your blessing over them in the name of Jesus, that you would bless them beyond all measure, that you would give them all that is needed for the task you've called them to do. I pray a blessing of health over them. I pray a blessing of clarity of mind over them, for that is the spirit that you've given to each and every one of them. Lord, I pray for every situation that they're facing right now as moms. If they have a question, God, you would give them the answer of how to handle a certain situation. Lord, that you would bless them and encourage them, strengthen them. Lord, I pray that this year would be a year of tremendous fruit in their life, in the life of their children, in the life of their homes, that you would bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.